in such, when it came to finding a church, and it was before the time of Google, right? Because I know I look young, but I actually look old. And I just walked around the block one day. So I grew up in South Bristol, in Whitchurch, and just walked around the block, find a church, because that's what you're meant to do. And I was really warmly welcomed into this church and made friends, and it was really lovely. And that was my first experience of Christian community. And then when I was 18, I decided to take a gap year between finishing my A-levels and going on to university. And so I thought I was going to go on a mission trip with Tear Fund. And in fact, I went with Matt Marses, one of Matt Marses' twin brothers. One of the, not your twin brothers. Sorry, you used to olive. Hugh. We didn't go to the same country, but we were at the training thing together. Still remember that? So there's a little link. And before we flew out to our respective mission trips, we spent a week in the kind of Tear Fund headquarters near London. And I've never met these people before. There were like a team of six of us. I met these people for the first time. I was going to be living with, working with in Mexico City for 4 months. And then while I was there one day, I just remember getting a phone call out of the blue from a friend to say that our friend from church, who was only 19 or 20, had died really suddenly from meningitis. As you can imagine, it was just such a huge shock. He was one of the first friends I'd had as a Christian in my church. He was always really fun, really encouraging, and I just wasn't sure whether I should continue and go on this mission trip, whether I should go back home for the funeral. I was just confused. And I actually remember in my bag finding a golf ball that he'd given me before I went away. Now, I have no idea why he gave me a golf ball going to Mexico. He was quite random, and he used to play pranks on people, and he had a great sense of humour. But I really felt like, you know, I think he would want me to go. So I remember continuing on this mission trip. I sent something back home for the funeral for him to read out, and I got on this plane with these people that I'd just met. I was trying to grieve the loss of my friend. And we were staying on the outskirts of Mexico City in this little flat, and it was in the days, this is like, I don't know, 20 years ago, roughly, maybe a bit more. And it was before the days when like mobile phones would work abroad, so I remember having my mobile phone there, but it wouldn't work, which was really upsetting. And also the landline was really expensive, so I was just in this little flat, and I remember just thinking, gosh, I feel so alone, so far away from any comfort or anything I've known. Anything that would bring me that sense of familiarity. And I was in this really foreign land where I didn't really speak very good Spanish. Now, I need to say, are there any linguists in the room? Anyone speak a foreign language? Anyone speak Spanish? You speak Spanish?
Yeah.
Great, you're going to love this next little story. So I thought, I'm kind of an all-in kind of person, so my little mission trip, brilliant, I should probably prepare. So I went to the Folk House on Park Street. It's an amazing place. It's not a criticism of them. Their teaching was fantastic. It was the people that was the problem. And so I did some Spanish learning, shall we call it. And oh my gosh. When I was there, I thought, I was trying to be confident. I was trying to sort of convey in their language what I'd thought I'd learned. And so I remember one day trying to say to this poor guy that, I've been here 4 months now, but I didn't know what the word in Spanish was for bean. I thought, do you know what? I know what the Spanish is for beans, okay? So my voice is really easy, isn't it? Because I can just say, tengo, I have beans, frijoles, because I didn't know what the word was for bean, aquí, para cuatro meses. So I thought I was being really clever. I have beans here. And this guy's like, what are you talking about? Anyway, needless to say that I hadn't thought that he would need to have a corresponding kind of translation. He would need to understand the English word bean. And he obviously didn't, because he only speaks Spanish, so you can see where that fell down. But that wasn't the worst little incident with the language learning. Unfortunately, the worst one was when I was helping to don't worry, I'm getting onto the song, if you're wondering where I'm going. It's all helpful backdrop. I was painting on a roof one day with this guy, and I thought, oh, I'm going to be really kind. I'm going to say, do you want a drink? Really sorry if you speak Spanish. I said, ¿Quieres beber? Thinking I was offering this guy a drink. Basically asked me more to have my children. And, to which he then laughed non-stop for about 10 minutes. Fine, all right. But bebida is drink, bebe is baby. So if you're going to Spain, top tip, just really do your language learning well. Anyway, you get the measure of how far away I am from my comfort of England and speaking English. With these people I don't know, I obviously don't speak much French. I mean, there's the problem. Spanish. I'm doing so well. And this is where we come for today's psalm. we all go to. And I got there, and I suppose just, I've already painted a picture of where I'm at, which is not in a great place. And I just felt like, wow, I'm a new Christian. I'm in Mexico. My family are far away. Everything I know is far away. And I came across Psalm 27, a Psalm of David. And I remember reading it around this time. And I remember writing it out as a prayer. And I've still got it at home somewhere. I couldn't find it. But, you know, that's the great thing about the Bible, isn't it? Particularly about the Psalms, is actually we can pray them and they can help us to pray. And especially when we want to speak to God and we don't have the words, actually often I find praying the Psalms really, really helpful. So I'm going to read Psalm 27 to you, and I think it should come up here. In fact, I might read it from here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes. The false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. So I just want to unpack a bit today around that psalm. And I guess as I was preparing it and thinking about being with you guys this evening, the thing that I just felt like God keep kind of saying to me was about how can we have confidence in God? It's just that phrase around confidence. And what does it mean to have confidence in God? So that's what I'm just going to unpack, three things that I think can help us to have confidence in God. But first of all, I just want to start by asking you a question. Don't need to answer this out loud. This is like just an internal little moment for you. But I want you to think, what are you most afraid of? What is that thing that might keep you up at night, or when you think about it, your heart starts racing, or you just feel really uncomfortable? Or maybe some of you, you're just familiar with fear and you don't even know why. You don't know why you're afraid, but you have that sense of dread just with you a lot of the time. And one of the things sometimes I will ask myself is, what's the fear beneath the fear? Because often we will be afraid of something, but it's not even always that thing. It can be underneath. There can be layers to what it is that we're frightened of. And I think when I read this psalm that David's written, we can see that actually he's writing at a time where he's facing opposition, he's in trouble, and fear is knocking on the door of his life. And I think there's just some threads in this psalm that just really help us as we think about how can we have confidence in God. I looked up the definition of confidence in the dictionary, like every good preacher should, and there are a few things that struck me. The first two, I thought, fine. So it says, the feeling or belief that one can have faith in or rely on someone or something. And the state or feeling, certain about the truth of something. Then this one I thought was really interesting. It says, a feeling of self-assurance arising from an appreciation of one's own abilities or qualities. And I think there's nothing wrong with feeling a sense of self-confidence. We probably would all like to say that we would want to feel self-confident and self-assured and able to feel like, I've got some abilities and some qualities that I really want to bring. I sometimes think that's really the world's definition of confidence. And actually, as we read this Psalm 27, and as we think about the life that Jesus promises us, which is one where Jesus says, I promise you life in all its fullness, actually, I think we need to learn confidence, but it's not a self-centered confidence. It's not about like us trying harder to be we think we need to be. It's a God-centered confidence. That means that we don't have to fear. I don't have to fear. You don't have to fear, because I'm trusting in God. And I think that's huge, because I think a lot of the way the world operates is about needing self-confidence and relying on self and not needing anyone else and not needing God. And actually, I think what this psalm reminds us of actually is that our confidence is first of all rooted in God, who made us, who knows us, who loves us. And I feel like God's taken me on a bit of a journey this year of trusting him. Now, I've been following Jesus for, I think, 23 years. So I was about 16. I'm 40 next year. I know. And if I'm honest, I think it's been a bit of a painful journey, because I think what I've realised is I don't think I trusted God as much as I thought I did. And I think you can go through seasons in life. I think things can happen that make that hard, that can make you doubt God, that can make you question, that can make you really grapple and wrestle. And there's so many examples of people in the Bible who wrestle with God. And I think it's really healthy to wrestle, because I think when things are difficult, we either choose to turn towards God and to move in, or we choose to turn away. And I think Psalm 27 shows us that David is someone who actually, even in a tricky situation, he's aware of his need for God. He's not, you know, reading this, it doesn't feel to me like he's someone who's got confidence in himself, but actually he is reminding himself who God is and having confidence in God. Now, I guess to give you a little bit of my history and a bit of my testimony, although I'm not going to go into all of it because it would take all night. When I was in my early 20s, I was diagnosed with generalised anxiety disorder. And so, and probably from the age of 2, when I was first saw a child psychologist, I struggled with fear and anxiety. So it had been a huge part of my life for, you know, 20 odd years before I was actually diagnosed with it. And then actually since then, the last sort of nearly 20 years, I've had some amazing, powerful encounters with God where actually that hold of fear and anxiety in my life has gone, which is incredible. I would say I'm not a slave to fear and anxiety anymore, but I would say I have a vulnerability around fear and anxiety. And I say actually being human, we're all vulnerable to fear. We're all vulnerable, you know, just by being human, we're vulnerable, aren't we? We're vulnerable to life and the circumstances that we find ourselves in. But I guess for me, I feel like it's an area where I have been tested, where I have struggled and grappled and wrestled. And so I'm actually really heartened when I read the words of David in this psalm. Because actually, while he declares and expresses his faith, he's also, you know, and his trust in God, but he also shares his vulnerability and his doubts. And that's why I love the Psalms too. So I think the first thing we need to do to have confidence in God is to acknowledge our fears and our failures. And I don't know all of you. I don't know how easy you find it to be vulnerable, whether you feel like that's something you're really good at, or whether you feel like, oh, do you know what's an area I really struggle with? But I think, you know, the start of that psalm says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? I don't think David would have written those words if he wasn't familiar with being afraid and with trembling. You know, he's likely surrounded by an enemy and camped around him at this point. And you can understand why in that moment he would be really valid to be afraid. And I think it's really important that we acknowledge those things in our lives that can draw us away from faith and into fear. And I guess I would say the story of my life has been God taking me from fear into faith. And those things aren't like mutually exclusive, you can't one and the other. It's like at times, and in this psalm we see it, they can walk really closely intertwined side by side. But I do think there's something about him acknowledging that his trust is in God and not in himself, and also acknowledging his vulnerabilities that can really help us. You know, there's things in our lives, medical diagnoses, there can be the risk of losing your job, uncertainty about the future. Things can come creepy in, and sometimes it might not even be obvious things. It might be that over time you just realise, you know what, I just feel like I'm not really putting myself out there anymore. I'm stepping back, or I'm kind of becoming smaller. I'm not sure that I'm really stepping into who God's made me to be. And I think sometimes fear can be really silent and insidious and just creep in through the back door, and you don't realise until, you know, a bit way down the line that you're like, actually, I think I feel just quite afraid most of the time, and I'm holding back. So David acknowledges he's not the one to fix his circumstances. And I think sometimes in life, I was chatting about this the other day with my husband, and he was sort of saying, actually, I think sometimes we can sort of, our fears are allayed if we can see a path through. So we might be feeling like something's really tricky, but then we can sort of think, oh, if I just figure it out like this, if I just do this thing, or make this decision, then actually it'll probably be okay because then I can do that. I think all of us will probably resonate with the idea that we like to feel like we're in control. As much as we don't, and a lot of the time we're not, we like to fool ourselves into thinking that we are. And, you know, I really confess that my seeking of God is so much more acute when I'm in trouble. You know, when I'm afraid or when I need help, I'm much quicker to go to God because I realise my need for him so much more than when everything's going wrong just nicely, thank you very much. You know, I remember when I was in labour with our second child, which is nearly nine, they were like, oh, your pulse is too high, you're going to need to go onto this ward, and I was afraid. It's like giving birth is not an easy task anyway, but also, you know, all these doctors and all these nurses. And I remember just actually reciting this psalm out loud because it really reassured me, you know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So I think there's something about reminding ourselves in those periods of time when it's tricky who God is. Because like I said earlier on, when trouble comes, we either run towards God or we run away from him. So why does David seek God? I think David seeks God because he knows that God will ultimately look after him. You know, he says, conceal me there when troubles come, hide me in his sanctuary, place me out of reach on a high rock. And even just that idea of being on a high rock, seeing things from a different perspective. Sometimes my prayer to God is, actually, God, help me see right now from your perspective, because the way I see this, I just don't get it. And sometimes when I've been in periods of my life where I've really struggled with my mental health, I've said to my husband, what does it look like to you? Because sometimes when you're so in a situation, it's really hard. You can only see through your own lens, obviously. But sometimes you need someone else to come and speak life and speak their perspective in. It says, well, actually, I see it like this. And I just love that image of God placing me out of reach on a high rock, helping me to see my life or my situation from a different perspective. And, you know, there's so much contrasting imagery in the Bible of hiding. There's that hiding in Genesis where Adam and Eve concealed themselves from God. You know, they're hiding in the garden. I was afraid, so I hid. But then there is this hiding we read about in the Bible where we run to God, being hidden with God. And Psalm 17 says, hide me under the shadow of your wing. And I love the idea of being tucked away safely under God's wing. And, you know, Just bear with me for a minute because I'm in a bird's wing, so we're just all going to have that little moment. But if you imagine just being kind of in a bird's wing, you kind of still, I imagine, still looking out, still seeing what's going on, but feeling really held, really protected, really safe. And actually, the great news is that because of Jesus, that is how we can live. And in Colossians, it says, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And so sometimes when some of these things in my life that I've battled with and struggled with come creeping in, I'm like, no, I've died to that. Jesus has paid the price for that. I don't have to go down that path again. My real life is hidden with Christ in God. But it's, you know, I think to take hold of our identity in Jesus, it's not without it being contested. And I think I am really passionate about people stepping into the freedom that God's got for them because I believe that Jesus wants us to live a life of freedom. He wants us to live a life in all its fullness. But I think the reality is that we know that we are living in a world that is where that's contested, where there's a battle for that. And so I think knowing that our real identity is in God, that actually that we are his, we're his possession, and our lives are hidden in him, and actually that's why it's so important to know our Bibles and to be in the Word, because then we can actually declare the things that we know to be true, and that's powerful in our lives. You know, like in worship today, just singing some of those things that are based on the truth of the Bible is really great, isn't it, to remind ourselves. But I think God can be our hiding place when we seek him with our whole selves. And I think sometimes there's certainly seasons in my life, and maybe you can relate to this, where we need to ask God to stir up a bit of a hunger in us and a desire for him. Where actually sometimes we become a bit too satisfied with just the stuff of the world, just the kind of going to work, hanging out with our friends, and they're all great things. But it's almost like we need God to stir up that desire for him and not to be so satisfied with where we're at, because we need that fresh revelation of who he is. And, you know, we can ask him for that today. And maybe that's something that you feel like, yeah, I just feel like I need to ask him for that fresh kind of perspective of who he is and what he wants to do in my life. And lastly, I think what this psalm really speaks to, hang on a minute, missed the whole point. I know, don't get too comfortable. It's all right, I find it. I think, let me just think, where have we got to? Yeah. So we acknowledge our fears. The second thing I think we need to do is we need to seek God. So he says, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And I wonder today, what is the thing that you feel you seek most? Do you feel like happiness is what you seek? Do you want comfort, prosperity, you know, success, recognition? Because probably all of us would say, well, that all sounds really nice. But can we make seeking God our first priority? And I've looked up a little definition of seek, and it says to go in search or quest of. I love that idea of being in a quest for God. It's quite an active thing. It's not like I'm just going to sit back and wait for God to come and just download something into my life. There's a real seeking, a real pursuing of God, going after him. And, you know, how active is my pursuit of God? How active is your pursuit of God? Do you just feel like, oh, I turn up on a Sunday and I'm just sort of waiting for what God wants to say? Or do you feel like, yeah, do you know what? I'm really actively seeking. God, what do you want to do when I'm at work? What do you want to do in my family? What do you want to do in my relationships? I think that's the kind of challenging bit of working out where God is when in our everyday lives. You know, Sunday is so important to be church family together, to gather together. Actually, it's for the other times when we're out, wherever we find ourselves, actually, that God wants to use us. And then I think one of the things that I thought I was really good at and then realised I wasn't was about being patient. Actually, I think this psalm speaks so beautifully into waiting patiently. You know, David talks about it a lot. And I always thought I was a really patient person until I had children. Mm-hmm. And then I realised I really wasn't. And recently, my husband and I have been praying, actually, by God wanting to grow the fruit of patience in our lives. And to just sort of comedy effect, like we'll be in a queue at a petrol station, and like the other day we were there, I was like, this is just ridiculous. This is like the slowest man in the entire world. And just watching was painful, but I thought, gosh, why can't I just slow down? Why can't I just be okay with things taking a little bit longer? And I was at New Wine last week, a week before, and if you really want to just grow that fruit of patience, go camping. That's what I'm going to say to people, go camping, because like you want a cup of tea, right? And at home, just sort of like, brilliant. Camping, can I light the stove? Put the stove lit, right? It's been like 3 hours. Is there any hot water? So I just feel like, and they're silly examples, but I think probably all of us can relate to that sense of sometimes just feeling in a rush. And sometimes I don't even know why I feel in a rush. Why am I in a rush? Oh my gosh, I'm in a rush. And my kids sort of sometimes help me to slow down because they'll be like, honey, are we in a rush? No, not in a rush, just chill, it's fine, we're going to be late for school, but it's fine, we'll be late every day this year, so it's fine. True story, and I live like 2 minutes away, so it's really bad. Yeah, but I read this really beautiful quote the other day by Rick Warren, he's a pastor in America, but he said, patience is one of the most common tools God uses to build your faith. In fact, it takes more faith to wait than to take a risk. Well, that's really interesting, because I would say, I'm like, oh yeah, take a risk, just want to do that thing. Ooh, it takes more faith to wait than to take a risk, because waiting forces you to decide, will you continue to trust God? Or will you give up and walk away? And I think, to me, Psalm 27, it's got this kind of almost rhythm to it of David sort of saying, yes, I believe this about you, God. But oh, this is hard, and my enemies are surrounding me. And oh, but I believe this about you, God. But oh, I need to wait patiently. And I think in some ways that is the rhythm of our lives, isn't it? Like sometimes feeling like, yes, I've really taken hold of this. And other times feeling like, oh, but actually the reality is just really, really hard. And yet, David finishes his psalm by saying, yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And the Hebrew word for wait is kavah, and it means to wait, look for, hope, or expect. And actually, the kind of the root of the word is about binding together. So I feel like that sense of waiting is actually a really proactive place where we draw close to God. We're kind of bound close together with God. But it's not a kind of waiting, I'm just going to lie here on the mat. It's a like eagerly looking for, hoping, expecting, wait. Drawing close to God in the waiting. Because David's confidence in God is directly linked to his patience in waiting for him to act. And I think it's, you know, it's easy to have patience if actually we're not really needing anything. But actually, if we're in trouble, if we're afraid, if there's an enemy that is what David's writing about, that's about to kind of feeling like it's going to be overcome, overpowered, that waiting is much harder, isn't it? And that is putting our faith into action. That is walking by faith and not by sight. And so I just think that perhaps the encouragement for us today goes back to what I said at the beginning, that actually it's not about having more self-confidence, like positive thinking or feeling better about ourselves. Actually, it's about drawing close to God, reorientating ourselves around him, and having a God-centered confidence that comes because we trust him to be faithful, because we know who he is. And, you know, that sometimes I'm a feeler, as I said at the beginning. So I find it really hard if I'm not feeling something to believe it. And so I'll say something and my husband will be like, just because you feel like that doesn't make it true. And I'll look at him literally like he's an alien just landed from Mars, because I don't understand that concept. But I think it's really important that we have to understand who God says he is by reading our Bibles, by knowing the truth of who he is. So actually when we are in those times of waiting and it is really hard, we can understand and stand on the fact that actually this is who God says he is, and I trust him to be faithful. And so I'm going to just sort of lead into a bit of time of ministry, if that's okay. And while I was praying about it this evening, there were a couple of things that I think I felt God brought to mind, particularly for you guys, the congregation, and maybe for a few specific people. And I think one is actually just praying for people that feel like you've been waiting for a long time and you just feel really weary. And you're like, yeah, that's all great what you've shared, Lord, but I am so tired. I just need God to do something. And I guess my encouragement tonight, and I've seen him do this in my life, so I guess I have a measure of faith that I can pray for this from. But I feel like sometimes we just need a bit of a power encounter from God. You know, we're called to live in spirit and in truth, and the truth, obviously, of God's word. But actually, sometimes we need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. We need to know the breaking in of God's kingdom into our lives, into our minds, into our bodies. And so, you know, God is the God of the breakthrough. So I really want to pray tonight for people that feel like I need some breakthrough. I need a fresh touch of God while I've been waiting. And then I felt like maybe for some of you today, actually, maybe you just need to recommit to choosing to trust God. I feel like we, in our Christian walks, you know, we can get to points where we just realise, maybe a bit like me this year, we're like, actually, am I trusting God or am I just saying I'm trusting you? And I think there's something in us choosing to trust God that's really, really powerful. And maybe for some of you, you're here and you're just checking faith out. You're not even sure whether you believe in Jesus. And, you know, that's really, you're welcome just to sit back and watch. Or maybe you feel like, actually, no, I want to take that step and I want to choose to follow Jesus, maybe for the first time. So we'd love to pray for you. And the other word, I guess, was just around people that just feel a sense of fear. And they might not even know why, but I would love to pray that fear is not something that's dominating your life. So I'm going to invite us all to stand, if that's okay, because that just feels easier. And if you feel like some of those things I've mentioned are for you, I'm just going to invite you to put your hands out, because often when we put our hands out, it's just a way of saying, God, I'm here, I want to receive from you, and actually I'm going to come with open hands because I know that you're good and I can receive from you. And actually, if you're just thinking, I just need a fresh touch from God, then that's also really good. To pray for you too. So Father God, we just thank you that you are here with us now by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you say that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And I just pray, Father God, by your Holy Spirit, you would come, that you would draw near to us, that we would know the comfort and the peace of your presence. I also, Lord, want to pray for people that just feel like they've been waiting a long time. Ask, Holy Spirit, you would come and bring breakthrough tonight. That you would lift off heaviness, that you would lift off fear, that you would lift off depression and kind of feeling of despair. Just pray, God, that you would bring refreshment, that you would bring joy. Thank you that you say the joy of the Lord is our strength. I pray, Lord, that we would know that deep in our souls. And I pray, Lord, for a refreshment. Just pray for people that just feel like need a spiritual refreshing right now. Holy Spirit, would you come and bring that refreshment? And Lord, we also just confess that at times we go our own way, that we wander off and we try to do it ourselves. And we just, for those of us tonight that just need to take a moment to choose to trust you again, just want to say, God, that we choose to trust you. And we realize it's a choice. And just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and bless each person that is choosing to put their trust and their faith in you again, God. We know that you are good and that we can trust you.